Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 407, entitled At the Core, with Birgit Pauli-Hack and Anne McCarthy, episode 2. It was published on Thursday, the 30th of January, 2025. No, wait, hang on, it wasn't. I never normally segue at this point, but I'm going to, because something strange happened. I go to London every month to do the WPLDN meetup, and this Thursday, as I often do, I pack my bag, put my laptop in there, and I've always got the audio files for the podcast so that I can fiddle with it on the train and what have you. However, to my surprise and chagrin, I discovered that the podcast episode peculiarly had been deleted from my laptop, and so during my time in London, I was unable to get it to you on its prescribed Thursday schedule. So it's coming out a bit late. It's a couple of days late, and so sincere apologies to Birgit and to Anne McCarthy for that. It really was out of my control. The files were on my computer, which was at home switched off, and typically they would be synced to my laptop, but somehow the sync got deleted. I've no idea what went on, but anyway, it was released a little bit late. So apologies to them, and apologies to you. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I will be joined by Birgit and Anne in just a few short moments, but before then, a few bits of housekeeping. If you like what we're doing over at WP Builds, head over to our schedule page, wpbuilds.com/schedule, find out what we're doing. You can subscribe at our subscribe page, wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Sign up to our email newsletter and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. There is a no spam promise attached to that. And if you're interested in getting your product or service out in front of a WordPress-specific audience, then please head to wpbuilds.com/advertise. A bit like these three fine companies did. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefining your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we are also assisted this week by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere heartfelt thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds Podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without the gracious support of companies like them. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, as I've said already, we've got Anne McCarthy and Birgit Pauli-Hack. It is the second of our At The Core shows. We're going to be joined by Birgit and Anne every 3 months or so to go over all of the different bits and pieces that have been happening over the last 3 months. Not entirely exhaustive, but nevertheless, we give it a go. We spend quite a lot of time talking about all of the different bits and pieces that have been happening with collaborative editing. Birgit has provided a really handy playground link. It's a one-click install of all of the different bits and pieces that we discuss about collaborative editing. So check out the show notes at wpbuilds.com. We get into the style book and global styles, what they are and how they all work. And then we spend quite a lot of time talking about the developer blog and some articles that have come up over there that you might be interested in. And then finally, kind of alluded to it already, we spend quite a bit of time talking about Playground and all of the different demos and bits and pieces out there in the wild at the moment, which are making Playground a truly remarkable tool in the WordPress space. So that's all coming up next. Thanks to Anne and Birgit. I hope that you enjoy it. Hello there. I am joined on the podcast today by two very fine people. I'm joined by Birgit Pauli-Hack and by Anne McCarthy. Hello, both.
Hello, Nathan. Good to be here. Thank you.
Hello, hello. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's very nice to have you both. Genuinely, I'm really looking forward to this. This is one of those shows where we get to cast our eye back over the last 3 months and kind of be a bit introspective. What are the things that have happened well? What are the things that you might have missed in the news? I know that we cover a lot of the WordPress news on the This Week in WordPress show. Nevertheless, some of it doesn't land. A lot of the things happening in the project, unless you are really into it, kind of happen in a bit of a corner somewhere and you probably don't hear about them. And Birgit and Anna here today to surface some of the more interesting things that have happened. And I promise you, there's loads. Right at the outset, quite a lot of it is going to be visual. And what I mean by that is it would be great if you could pause the podcast, go to the show notes, click the links, inspect it over there, and then come back, because you will get a better understanding of it. So just that caveat emptor in mind. Having said that, some of it isn't. So stick with us. We're doing the audio only. But like I said, go and check out the show notes and do it that way. Right, intro time. I'm just going to hand it to Birgit first. Do you want to give us your little potted bio in case people don't know who you are?
Sure. My name is Birgit Pauli-Hack, as you so well pronounced. I'm the curator of the Gutenberg Times, and I have my own podcast. That's the Gutenberg Changelog, talking about Gutenberg and all the things around it. And I'm also a contributor to WordPress, and I work for Automattic.
Thank you very much. That was perfectly pithy and succinct. That was great. Thank you. And Anne, you've got that to live up to.
Gosh, I know, making it hard. I'm Anne McCarthy. I am also sponsored by Automattic. My sponsorship hours have shifted with the recent announcement, so I want to get that out there in the open. But I've been involved in a number of release squads. My title is a product wrangler, and I've done all sorts of roles across the releases, and previously ran the FSD outreach program at the beginning of phase two. And so now we're moving into phase three and getting some testing and some exciting stuff done, which I'm sure we'll talk about here.
Yeah, we definitely will. In fact, we're probably going to just launch straight into phase three. So we'll sort of chunk this into various different bits and pieces, but broadly, we'll let you know when we're changing tack and going on to a different subject. But the first thing, and I guess this could come under the banner of phase three, is the idea of kind of collaborative editing and moving to something a little bit more like Google Docs. Dear listener, if you're not a nerd about WordPress like the three of us are, you may not know, but there is an intention to make things a bit more like Google Docs in the WordPress admin editor, the site editor, to be able to do things like, I don't know, see what people are doing simultaneously on the screen. It's a big ask, in all honesty. The idea of getting that over the line is pretty hardcore. Google can do it because they own all the infrastructure. WordPress is going to be challenging because who knows what hosting environment you're on and what have you. But the first piece that we're going to look at today is the idea of, well, the first and experimental version for inline commenting. And so by that, what we mean is, you know, you go into Google Docs, you highlight a bit of text, and then you make a comment, you can at mention people and things like that, and they get emails. And now it would appear, and I don't know what state we're in with this, whether this is, I'm looking at a GitHub repo, links in the show notes, if this is sort of something which is kind of reaching maturity. But what I'm seeing is a settings area where you can enable block comments. And if I get this wrong, forgive me, but it feels like we're binding the comment inside of a block. So you can't go from, like, you can't highlight, let's say, I don't know, a paragraph up into a heading and make a comment across those two things. You'd be stuck in the paragraph making the comment, but you enable it. You can then make a comment. You can at mention people, and they appear as little popovers, if you like, a little overlay. Very exciting. I don't know what you want to add to that, you two.
I would love to shout out that the crew at Multidots has done a ton of this work. And so Pooja in particular has been leading a lot of these efforts, and it's been so amazing to have them come in and then partner with longtime Gutenberg contributors. Ella has been one of the main folks, and Johan on the design side, and it's just been a really beautiful collaboration. But big shout out to the team at Multidots, who's been driving us. I think it's an amazing example of a kind of contribution that makes me really excited to see in collaboration. That's exciting to see collaborating over, you know, collaboration. But yeah, it's block level commenting. It is live and an experiment and a Gutenberg plugin. And there is an issue. Let's see if that's what's linked in the show notes. I'll make sure. Okay. Yeah, it's not. So there's a, I'll drop another issue. I'll make sure it's in there. There's an inline commenting that issue that goes through like the next iteration, and it has a set of designs and some development tasks to evolve it and step it forward. And so I'm really excited about this work. And I think there's like a ton that can be improved upon here to make sure like the comments in the sidebar look as you'd expect. You can resolve things in a way that you expect. And it can be something that we can hopefully implement in a release soon.
In Google Doc, I'm going to keep mentioning Google Doc because I feel like it's the North Star of what really, you know, the whole collaborative editing is trying to get to. Perhaps it's not, but it feels like it is. You can highlight a portion of text. So, you know, just a particular word or what have you. Does this have that capacity, or are we literally, you know, clicking into the block and then making a comment about the entirety of the block? Big, it's nodding there. What do you have something to add to that?
Yeah. So there is a, in the toolbar, there is a menu in the drop three-dot menu, and the drop-down is that add a comment, and then it opens up on the right-hand side in the where normally the sidebar is a little field where you can add your text. It's not particularly formatting. You can't format it, but it actually attributes it to the user. So it has a little avatar. So it's quite nicely to see, to go through a series of comments, and then it it's threaded. So if somebody answers to it, people can see it as well. But it is tied to the block through the toolbar. And that's also where you see a little icon. Yeah, there are, even if the sidebar is not open, you see a little icon that there are comments there. And then when you click on it, it opens the sidebar with the comments. So it's actually straightforward, I found. And if you have something to add to the other block, yeah, you go down and do the same thing over and over again. There is an issue, I thought, but that's just that just needs to kind of be taken care of when the feature is more finalized or more refined, is when you look in the list of your posts and you see the comments, there's a little button there or a little circle there with a number in there. That is totally random, what's in there, and that will be fixed. Okay. when it made it. Yeah,
it's, but it's also
not it's not particularly because I the blog post also needs to differentiate between the comments that are in the editor and the comments that are actually on the front end. And right now that little circle kind of takes care of both of them. So that's a little random, but yeah. Inside the editor, it's just smooth sailing. It's very, very nicely done. Chapeau to the multi-dots people who, and all the contributors and the design people to work on that. It's a great experiment to enable and work with it, yes.
This is going to seem like a bit of an inane comment, but the fact that WordPress has a right-hand sidebar where you do all of the editing already actually lends itself really well to, it just sort of drops into there, doesn't it? When you're looking at the comments, it drops into there. So it occupies that same space. Whereas in something like Google Docs, it's kind of this weird UI, almost like a sort of like a, I don't know, it looks like a thought bubble or something, which sort of floats by the side. So you never kind of know that the comments are there until you click on the highlighted text. I will add, it looks almost like the comments at the bottom of a blog post. So you've got, you know, the icon of who it was, the username of who it was. But you also have the ability to resolve things and edit things and bin things and what have you. But this, the question around this for me is, what's the point? And I don't mean that in a sort of negative way. What I'm trying to ask is, are we trying to take WordPress here to something, I don't know, more of a kind of like, is it around content, or does WordPress suddenly become a bit more of a utility that you might even use in an office to sort of collaborate on a work document? Or something a little bit more Google Docs, because at the moment, WordPress is a publishing platform. To me, that's the whole point. You write a blog post, you publish it, everybody gets to see it online. This feels like we're entering into more like, for want of a better word, Microsoft Office territory where you might never wish to publish it, but it's a great space to collaborate. You own that data. It's not going backwards and forwards. It could be done on a server sitting under your desk, what have you. I don't know if you've got any intuitions around that. It's a bit of a peculiar thought, perhaps.
I mean, that's something that I have written a summary of this, I think, last year, talking to various enterprise newsrooms, medium-sized newsrooms, like all sorts of, like, there's all this work initially when we started phase three. I went around and did like a bunch of interviews with folks, like, how do you use WordPress right now? What tools do you use? How do you collaborate? And then pulled those together into some insights. And so you'll actually see on the link that will be in the show notes, there is someone from Gannett who took the time to share feedback and kind of say, like, on this inline commenting feature, like what we'd need or what they would need to actually use it. And so one of the things I wanted to encourage folks, if anyone's in like the newsroom setting, is to comment on this and share your feedback, like try it out and test it, because this is the exact kind of feedback we need at this stage of things. It's like, this is cool, but we would use it when X, Y, and Z is done. And in this case, a lot of times they said they need text level and being able to assign a section to someone review. So similar to Google Docs, where it's like, so here's the scenario that I heard time and time again. It's like, someone's writing a post. We have someone who's a writer. They now need the editorial team to come through. Editorial team comes through, makes changes. And a lot of times this all happens before they ever get to WordPress. So a lot of times they're using Google Docs or they're literally emailing copies back and forth to each other, which was my favorite, which I was just like, oh man, that's wild. when it's finalized, that's when they enter WordPress. And so what this does is it takes some of that collaboration and has you start in WordPress, which allows you to see what the post will look like, decide, have multiple people working in it. And when real-time collaboration comes in and multiple people can be in there, you can imagine a world where it's like, you know, a post is set to ready for editorial review. The editors start going through. And at the same time, once it's ready for editorial, the media team knows, okay, we need to start getting images ready to slot them into places. Because a lot of times these giant newsrooms or even smaller newsrooms, there's someone who's in charge of like media and placement. And then you can imagine someone's tracking that and it's like ready for legal. So like legal needs to review. But let's say legal, rather than having full editorial control, let's say we just give legal comment control. So instead of them actually getting in and like messing up the words after editorial, like finalize it, you can imagine legal coming through and it's set to like pending legal review. Legal comes through, they can just comment. So they go through and they go, don't say data like that. That's concerning. That can get us in trouble. Please remove this. And then they can resolve that comment, work through it again with editorial. And you can imagine this all the way through publishing. And so that's kind of the scale of things. And a lot of times it comes down to like, either there's multiple teams or cross-function to deal with like things like placement on the site, SEO, layout, media, editorial, legals, or they have like third-party experts. So like another piece of this that's something to keep in mind is like a public preview link. So let's say I'm working with someone with a PhD and I'm talking about snowfall and the change in snowfall due to climate change. Like I need a way where I don't necessarily want to add them to the site, but I need them a way to see the posts and actually give feedback. And so there's all these different kinds of ideas similar to Google Docs that touch on permissions, access level, and the base experience of how can we get folks collaborating in the WordPress editor in a way that feels safe. I also have a lot of like existential philosophical thoughts around like kind of like before Uber became a thing, you just got in someone's car. It's like to move to the WordPress dashboard is psychologically heavy. There's a lot of connotation there. So I think we're going to have some like pretty clear safeguards in the UI to make sure folks know like you're in here, but don't worry, you're not about to just like publish something live. Because in these giant newsrooms, they deal with lawsuits if they publish the wrong thing. There's some very severe consequences. They could announce someone's death inappropriately if they publish the wrong thing. Like collaborating is not neutral. It's not just like fun. Sometimes there's like very real stakes involved. So That's like kind of all of that is to say this is one piece of that. It's like, how do you allow people to review and collaborate and leave comments at different levels of access? And we're not there yet. Right now, it's just like block level. And you'll see a comment from Gannett saying like, when you get to the point of text level, that's when this will be useful.
Okay.
Because you imagine, think about an editorial team. Like they need to say like, don't use this word. And if they highlight the whole paragraph block, I mean, that's like useless. You know, they need more granularity. But we're marching down that path.
I remember the first time I saw Airtable, I thought, do you know that software, Airtable? I remember the first time I saw Airtable, I thought, wow, spreadsheets just got really clever. But looking at this and thinking about this some more, the block editor, it makes me think it's like Google Docs, but clever. Because imagine an editing interface where no longer do you have to, I don't know, like... it's really hard to do anything apart from text and images in a Google Doc. But with WordPress, just literally think of all the million things that you can do with all the blocks that you can drag in. And I know this is probably a bit of a stretch, but it does seem like quite a credible interface for carrying out stuff which will never be published for public consumption. Mm-hmm. Just the kind of intranet-y bit. You know, here's our collaboration of document space, but instead of it looking really ugly, we're going to make it look really nice. But also we're going to have, you know, block quotes, and we're going to have paragraphs, and we're going to make the images look nice, and da-da-da-da, and all of the different things that you can do with WordPress. That's fascinating. And obviously comments is a big piece in making that effective. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I really zoomed out there.
No, that is really interesting and brilliant. No, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. Okay, let's move on. Oh, but I should probably say, again, links in the show notes, but if you were interested in that, this is you'll find this in the Gutenberg GitHub repository, and the number that you're looking for is 60622. Let's move on, and we're going to go to a piece that Anne wrote. I don't know if this is actually the piece that you were discussing. And this is Reliable Sync Protocol, PR, live demo and discussion for collaborative editing. So this is absolutely fascinating. You had somebody on the line whose name I've forgotten,
Kevin Yans.
So Kevin Yans, who is behind YJS, which you say is a popular framework for building collaborative applications. And that video, you just hanging out, riffing on how to make it all work, and how it gets updated in the database and where it's all stored. Did you come away from this session? The session's about 48 minutes long, by the way. Did you come away from this session like bamboozled, this'll never happen? Or was it more, whoa, this is within reach, we can do this?
A bit of, I mean, both. Like, I think there's like, it depends on, one of the things I really appreciate about Kevin Yans, so just for context and transparency, Automattic sponsored him to work on real-time collaboration to kind of push us forward. We were using the YJS framework. He created the YJS framework. It's like, let's bring the creator in and have him work on this. And there's so many like unbelievable technical discussions that are out in the open about this. And it's a huge, hugely complicated problem because WordPress's database structure did not expect real-time collaboration. So, and that really broke his brain. Like, it's really like fun to watch the back and forth there. And he's just like a brilliant, kind. Yeah. Like he's a really wonderful, I would love if he, I hope he continues the WordPress project, I'll put it that way. I think he's just a really wonderful, brilliant person. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to solve. It's like, if we implement this in a certain way, is it acceptable if we have breaking changes? Who determines that? How do we determine that? What kind of breaking change? Like, there's a lot of like really interesting things. There is some work being done. Like, I won't go into the technical details. I'm going to try it. He basically demoed a couple different ways, like, basically three different ways that this could work. One is like, it could work across all instances, relying on like HTTP requests. And so like, there's a certain point where it's like, this is safe, this would work. It's a bit slow. And you can change how quickly the intervals are between syncing between two sites. So it's basically like, this protocol works. I'm trying to think of an example of what would be, I don't know, it'd be like taking a train. Like, it'll take longer to go there versus like a bullet train where it's really fast.
Okay.
Like, you're still taking a train, right? So you can change the interval, how long it takes to get from place to place. Then there's an implementation that requires a more advanced setup, basically, that not all hosts might have, or not all, like, you know, WordPress sites exist across many different kinds of servers. And so there's this like bonus way that is actually really reliable, really fast, really robust, but it's not going to necessarily be reliable for the most people. And so is there a way that we can build this reliable method for many, then have this optional, more advanced, if you have access to the resources and you want to like set this up, it would work with this. And so
Just interrupt there just very briefly? Are the resources that are required to do this bonus, I love that we've got this bonus sort of way of doing it. Are the resources that you need to bring to bear, is it like a cost problem? Are they extortionately expensive? Or is it just modest hosting just would never have that kind of thing?
It has to do with lack of WebSocket support.
Okay, got it.
Across, right. It gets real. I'm trying not to bore everyone technically.
Go to the article really if you want to get in the weeds.
Yes, get in the weeds. There's a reason I named that a really technical post, because I was like, I don't want people looking at this thinking they're going to be wowed by some demo when it's like very technical. And so it was cool on the call. We actually all got into a document and we're like messing with stuff. And there's some limitations around certain blocks. Like I think image blocks, I kept trying to upload images just because I thought it was fun. And sometimes they showed up, sometimes they didn't. And so there's weird like gotchas right now. But I think what he's working on and the method, the way he's thinking about it across a spectrum of experiences, where it's like, if you are an enterprise newsroom and you need to set up this, like go for it. We could build it in a way where that could happen. But if you're like an everyday user, how do we still, like, that's the beauty of WordPress, right? Like you can use the same thing that the New York Times is using for, I'm making that up. I don't think New York Times uses WordPress, but like you can use the same thing that like the biggest enterprise uses with WordPress on like, you know, a simple server. And so like, how do you maintain that promise with this stuff?
It feels like a discussion maybe to be had with hosting companies. In other words, it's almost like an upsell to the WordPress site. I guess the closest example would be something like Jetpack, where, you know, if you want this functionality, you can go the Jetpack way. And if you don't, you can, you know, install plugins, but it's done on your infrastructure. What if there was a conversation where, I don't know, a host could enable a tick box in your interface? Okay, do you want our hardcore bonus collaboration capability? Click here. We'll add, I don't know, $15 a month to your hosting bill or something. Big, it looks like you're ready.
Yeah. It seems more like a matter of speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a matter of how many data in many seconds you can have. Yeah, and he had this, I like that. I watched it too, and I remember that Jan said that one technology had a problem because it's peer-to-peer. So it's mobile phone to computer or mobile phone to server. And sometimes that doesn't work because there's security in there. So it needs to be updated in that way. And that is definitely something that the hosting company would need to do. There's really nothing that a plugin could do, I think. So yeah, it would be an opportunity there for a hosting company to say, okay, we enable the whole collaborative editing real time for you and put a lot of oomph. Yeah, technical term is oomph against the servers.
Do you want to purchase the oomph package with collaborative editing? Yeah, I like that. I really like that.
Because it takes a real, the internet needs to be really fast and the server needs to fast because the signaling and all that and how many connections you have. When you have 15 people in there, there's a lot of connections times 15. Yeah, so it's maybe millions in a blog post.
Yeah, it kind of makes the website into a kind of moving, a much more fluid kind of hosting environment. So I don't know, maybe it's something which is metered. You know, let's say, for example, that, okay, we're a hosting company and we detected that we had this throughput. And, you know, we noticed there were 15 people collaboratively editing. You know, there's an incremental fee of $2, which, you know, a bit like your data on your mobile phone when it runs out, you can kind of go into overage territory, something a little bit like that. That's absolutely fascinating.
Some hosting companies do that now with bandwidth, right?
Yeah. But you can do that with like, for want of a better word, CPU or, you know, the number of WebSockets you've got or WebRTC or what have you.
Yeah.
Interesting. I remember the first time I ever saw collaborative anything on the internet was Google Wave. Do you remember that? Do you remember Google Wave?
I know. It was like the precursor. Oh, yeah.
Google Wave was got dropped and got built into Google Docs. So Google Docs then became what Google Wave was.
Or chat or something like that.
And I remember seeing it and I actually dropped the thing I was holding. It literally, I went and dropped the object that was in my hand. And I got a bit of that from the video. I got that same sense of there's no way what I'm looking at should be possible. And yet there we are. There's like 8 or 9 different things going on and Jan's is sort of scrolling up and new things have appeared and other things have been deleted and what have you. And it's feel like that's in a blog post. That is so weird that's happening.
It's really weird.
And then we get to see the, you know, he opens up MySQL and we get to see how things are happening in the database. And if you've got any interest in real-time collaborating, and obviously we talked a little bit ago about how, you know, WordPress could become like an office suite, for want of a better word, this would be a crucial part of that. So the piece that Anne created here was called Reliable Sync Protocol PR, Live Demo and Discussion for Collaborative Editing. And it was a few days ago, January the 7th, the other day. Anything to add to that, Anne, before we move on?
No, I would just dig into it. Like, I think it's like, we could talk about that for like 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, we could put in the show notes a a playground link with all the to the PR that Jan had, so people can check it out and enable all the experiments so yeah. they can really.
Oh, neat!
Try
well,
it
if,
out,
if you've yeah. got the if you've got the bandwidth yeah. to do that, I will oh, yeah. definitely post it. So, yeah. ladies and gentlemen, if you want to play and that comes to pass, go to wpbuild.com, search for the episode, and I will make sure that that link is front and center. That would be great. I would really
it's
appreciate
a great idea.
That. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
you're
so
welcome.
The next piece that we're moving to, in the same arena, it's called, well, basically we're talking about the same thing. It's Anne. This was back in November, though, November 21st, 2024. And
this
was, yeah, it's update on phase three collaborative efforts. And I remember reading this at the time and watching the video, and it mm-hmm. was kind of encapsulating what Jan probably ended up doing in the video a little bit. What did you want to bring to bear out of this? Was there anything particularly you wanted to highlight out of that piece?
I'll just say, like, I shipped this mainly because I think it's, like, an important thing for the WordPress community to hear regular updates about. And so, like, all of this is, like, in GitHub. But if you want, like, a snapshot of, like, where are we at with phase three? Like, that's the question I wanted to answer. What are the pieces? What's being worked on? Where can I follow more deeply? And the last thing I'll mention on there, I mean, we covered, like, async collaboration with inline comments, zero sum collaboration. There is work being done around data view and data form.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And like there's a ton of stuff. And like both of these components are being built with extensibility at like the heart of everything they're doing. It's meant to be stuff that's widely adopted. And so I always just want to put a plug out there for folks to test it out and try it out and see what's going on.
So for those of you who aren't inside the, I think inside the baseball, is that a thing? Is that a phrase? Inside baseball, something like that.
Well, only Americans play
okay.
baseball, right?
Well, no, I'm not American. I tried, I failed.
Inside
for those
cricket.
Of you, yeah, for those of you who aren't, yeah, inside. For those of you who
that's
aren't
funny.
Nerdy about it, Anne says the word data views, and you might think, what the heck? What is that? So data views is basically any place on your WordPress website where I guess a list of data is exposed. So a mm-hmm. perfect example would be, think about when you go to the posts page and you've got a list of all your posts and you can sort it chronologically and you can, you know, sort it by name. And there's a very small amount of data exposed there. And it's a frustratingly small amount of data sometimes, and it goes into plugin territory. They can add things in, or you do that with a bit of code or what have you. But data views is going to bring a core capability to drop whatever the heck you like in there. So I don't know, an example that just comes into my head might be if I've got a real estate website and I'm selling houses, might be nice to have a column of the number of bedrooms, the price of the house. And so you wouldn't need custom coding to show that. You'd just be able to drop that into the data view. But then that would extend across, I don't know, users. It would extend across pages, I guess.
Media library.
Yeah, okay, media library. And but this, a lot of this stuff is now live and ready to go, right?
A lot of it is, it's still being iterated on, but you can actually use the data views component to display and interact with stuff in plugins. Mm-hmm. If you're a plugin author, it's something you can package and reuse. I don't know if you want to talk about that, just because I know that's like so...
It's that might be a little bit difficult, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can. But it is very exciting. For the longest period of time, I always thought that the WordPress admin, you know, the ability to look at that, I always thought it was excellent. But then the slow, inexorable march of SaaS platforms in the recent mm-hmm. past has really, much more recently, made it feel like there's nothing in here, really, that's keeping up. There's not enough capability to search, to filter, to do that sort of faceted search where you want to sort of combine, okay, I want to see categories only, but I also want to see this only. I want to see bedrooms over two, and I want to see prices under $3,000 per month or whatever. All of that kind of feels like it's in SaaS now, and we probably need it to
yeah,
come
yeah,
to WordPress.
Yeah, it's definitely yeah. a modernization of the
yeah.
admin screen, and also... yeah, much more flexible than the one that's there now.
Yep.
Yeah, with different layouts. There's a grid layout, there's a table layout, there's a layout where you have a list in the middle, and then when you click on it, it automatically changes on the right-hand side. There are also screens where you can just add data to it, yeah, like a data input kind of screens are available in the component. And I think there are quite a few plugin developers who actually are ripping out some of their interfaces that they themselves built and maintained for many years to base their future versions on the core data views, because it's kind of so flexible and they don't have to come up with their own interfaces. They don't have to come up with maintain their code. So I think it's a great win for WordPress. I also know that there's a lot of iteration coming up, especially with the forms still. Yeah, how to work with custom fields. So if can the custom field be a column? Yes, it can. Can a user change the layout? Can add other things in there? Yes, they can. But it's all in the early stages of those customizations. It's gonna be a little bit hesitated rolled out.
Yep.
Yeah, I would think, because a lot of plugin developers have some extension on the current interfaces, and it's hard to figure out what needs to come into the new data views without testing it so much and have the feedback loop with the plugin developers, who are sometimes just waiting what comes into core and then start figuring it out. But this needs to be a more closer collaboration to get it really good at the beginning.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how people do implement it and whether or not it makes one person's WordPress look absolutely nothing like another person's WordPress. And I guess it's surrounded, encapsulated in the same UI, so probably not. We're going to shift a tiny bit, speaking of that, to dedicated style screens. So again, links will be in the show notes. And so the piece that I'm looking at is it's a closed GitHub issue. It was number 66499, very nerdy. And this is the global styles style book, I guess maybe a good way to describe it. I don't usually find myself anywhere near here, to the point where it was a bit of a struggle for me to find it, in all honesty. And I admit that. That's the first thing. But what's the purpose of this screen? I'm guessing it's to be able to encapsulate all the things in one sort of, I don't know, content agnostic way, and to be able to sort of get a more global impression of what the site can offer you, what the paragraphs will look like. Maybe I'm getting that wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Yeah. But that was kind of the when Gutenberg started to kind of be rolled out with blocks and all that, to test how a design or a theme works with a block, you needed to create a post with all the
fill
blocks
it up
in
with
it,
all the stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with all the changes that you wanted to do, and see how it works on the front end. And that's kind of a testing thing. And it took a while to get this into core, but it's part of the design tools for designers that work within the site editor to create their themes. So now they have the general global, they have the typography, they have their colors, they have their spacing kind of right, and now they want to see how does it work with each blocks. Or they have their style variations, and they have maybe 15 style variations, like the 2024 theme, 2025 default theme. Yeah, how does the block work? Or each blocks work? Yeah, so there's a list of media blocks, there's a list of text blocks, then there's a embed blocks and all that, and you want to see how that all works with your theme. So you have one style book to go through and update that, and it actually has editing capabilities, which you didn't have with the other thing. But yeah, it's kind of that control on how the designs look throughout the website. Yeah,
I feel this is a really difficult tightrope to walk, this UI, and where to put it and where to expose it and how front and center to put it and how interactive to make it. And I feel that it's just really difficult to get, because it's all the visuals in one go. And the like, should you be able to edit things in, or is it just a visual thing? Can you go in there and add, I don't know, a custom style for a button or something, and then add another one and another one? Yeah, yeah, exactly. But does that belong in that interface, or should it belong somewhere else? Should it just be a view only kind of thing?
That's a good question.
I've had a good long play with it over the last few weeks, and it took me more time than I thought it would do to get used to where everything was and how it all worked. But once I'd spent the time doing it, I'm now really happy that I know where it all is, and I'm just now praying that it won't move somewhere else.
it's not going to move.
Yeah.
But that's what I find is that there's a lot of we have a lot of plugins that have custom blocks.
Yeah.
And those blocks appear there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if they're not from the design, they want to control how they look in that theme. So they make it into the style book as well. And that I find really preparing a website for going live for the last test through it, I find this really, really helpful. Yeah.
Can you zoom out on that style book?
Yeah, I think.
You know, like in the same way that now when you drop a pattern and everything zooms out, can you zoom out on it so that you can take in, like, I don't know, 12 of the patterns, sorry, or the blocks at the same time? I don't think you can on... Yeah, anyway, that's an aside. And were you going to say something? Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say coming from the outreach program experience, like, this was something that caused some confusion because, like, you'd land in the site editor, there would be this styles interface.
Yeah.
And it was different than the styles interface you got when you're in the editor. And right now, both of those experiences are now basically deprecated. So when you're in the editor, you can also still access the same style screen. But now at the top level, you can also access that. And part of the reason why I am so excited to see this at the high level is because in user testing, I'd watch folks style things block by block, and they wouldn't often find that top level global styles experience. And that becomes an issue when you style things block by block, because that takes precedence in the hierarchy. Where if you style things globally and then you switch the style variation to something else, everything will update magically. And so there's a level of, like, not getting too deep into the style hierarchy stuff, but it's important that we set people up for success in understanding that, like, if you want to impact your entire site or sell your entire site, it's best to do at the global level. Start globally, change your background color, do whatever, change your color palettes, change your font sizes, like, do it at the global level first for the long-term, like, ease of maintenance for your site going forward. And so bringing this into a dedicated screen and then leveling up design-wise, in terms of what's called the style book, there's a way to see your site, and there's a way to see the style book and, like, the components that make up your site. I think is really exciting and will hopefully make it easier in the long run. I personally think I have an issue around this. This is, like, a personal gripe of mine. I think while it might be beneficial to have the style screen available while you're in the editor editing a template or a page, I actually think this causes more confusion. And so I actually think that should be removed, and we should only rely at the top level. And then maybe if a block themer wants to, like, a use case for that is, like, a block themer editing a template wants to push things globally or globally, put that in the create block theme plugin, have it exposed there. But that's my personal preference. At some point, we need to rectify those experiences, because a user could also look at this. I haven't done user testing on this, but I could imagine a user seeing both and being like, wait, do I have to do the same thing in both
places?
That's
exactly what, like, I thought. That's literally what I thought, which is...
Yeah, like, what's the difference between these?
Yeah.
When do I use this
because
versus
it's
this?
It's over here, so it must be different to over there. And it was only upon really digging in and thinking, hang on, the change I made, okay, it's
It looks
now,
the same.
Okay, yeah, it's gone.
But that's not good, right? Like, we don't want people to be like, oh, I do my font changes in this one in the editor, but then I do my color changes, or it's like, no, it's the same thing.
Because it was on my agenda to explore what was going on, I persevered. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that in the case of a client of a website developer, that would immediately be a phone call. You're kind of like straight onto the developer. Why is it? Right. Why have I got these two? I don't know which one. Oh, okay.
Stay out of there. Yeah, it's the one answer. Right. Stay totally out of there.
So there's interesting work going on there. And I will point you to a couple of other things. Again, in the show notes, we probably won't delve into them, but there's this add color tab GitHub issue, and also style book for classic themes. Is there anything in there you wanted to go into? I know we really could, but... I mean, basically, you've got the style book for classic, you know, it's a classic theme. It's not a block-based theme, but now you can do the same sort of thing over there.
This was a request from from community members. So that's the one thing I'll call out is, like, this was something that was very much requested, especially from, like, an agency and themer background, because it basically exposes, like, a style guide of your theme. And it's an easy way to communicate to clients, communicate to users, like, this is what comes with your theme.
So this one's not, there's no interaction here. This is just, this is what it looks like. Here's your headings, here's your paragraphs, here's what your images will look like, and so on.
For now, there is an issue open as well that we need feedback on of, like, how do we roll this out? If there's something that someone can edit, what does it look like? What's the parameter for a classic game to get exposed to this? Do they need to be using a thing JSON file? Do they need to have, you know, editor styles? Like, it gets into a very complicated, like, adoption pathway. And this is something to figure out ahead of 6.8. There's also an issue open on that where we need feedback on.
As a developer, that is a pretty neat resource to send to your client, isn't it? Okay, here's what your site will look like. There's all the bits. If you've got any queries, say now. Otherwise, we're just going to lock that cell bit down and move on to the next piece. Okay, there we go. So, sorry, we're taking absolutely ages to get through this, but it's very exciting.
No, it's good.
Now, we've got something that I just mentioned, which is something that I think Rich Tabor began, I don't know, mid-2024, this idea of sort of this zoom out for patterns. The first time I came across this was not that long ago when I dropped it. It must have been the latest point release of WordPress when it came. I dropped in a pattern, and for the first time, it was like, whoa, what just happened? Did my chair move backwards? Everything got zoomed out. And I looked at it for a second, quickly noticed there was a button to unzoom it out, so toggled that a few times, and then ended up thinking, why do I want this? And then the penny dropped, and I thought, okay, I can see all the patterns in my long blog post at the same time. I know how that bit feeds into that bit and this bit down here. Now, okay, that doesn't quite work with the bit higher up. And I get it. And it felt like, and I hate to use it because it's not the right metaphor for it. You know, in MailChimp, it's a fairly, you know, you can just drag whole sections up, down. It felt a bit like that UI. It was just, okay, and here's, we're standing a mile back and we're just looking at the entire thing. And now I love it. It's one of my favorite things that's happened in WordPress in a very long time. So I think it was Rich that suggested it. And lo and behold, 6 months later, it exists. Anything to add to that?
Well, I just love it because I can assemble a page with all the patterns in there.
Right.
And then start editing the content and without having to think about patterns anymore.
Well, if you're... Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also like that you can see the styles for the group styles, the style variations, and then just change them. And you see it, how it feeds in the whole page. Yeah, so you have the purple one, the yellow one, the black one, and then the white one again, and then the black one. Yeah, it's kind of, you can assemble the whole page without thinking about content, and then do the design, be done with the design, and then start, okay, changing headlines, changing pictures, changing paragraphs, and focus on that. You don't have to do it on design anymore. And I love that.
Yeah, I've got a couple of things to add, and that is, I think patterns are encouraging us to be a bit more adventurous with our designs. So we're probably putting more pixels on pages. And so because of that, instead of just adding a little bit here and there, we might be adding really, I don't know, whole square sections with one click that take up the full viewport. And if you're on, let's say, a small computer, a small laptop, the Gutenberg, the WordPress UI and the Gutenberg UI, both left and right, is taking up quite a lot of that screen real estate. And if you drop in a fairly large pattern and then another one and then another one, you have no idea how they're going to look together. So you toggle that little button. And all right, it might look like you're on a mobile phone or something miles away. But nevertheless, there it is. You get this bird's eye view of everything, and it's really neat. So if you haven't experimented with that, next time you drop a pattern in, if it doesn't automatically... Oh, and that is another question. If it doesn't automatically invoke itself, it looks like two, I don't know, arrows pointing in opposite directions, top right. Why does it invoke itself automatically for me and almost nobody else? What's going on? Why when I drop in any pattern these days, does it invoke itself? Have I checked a box somewhere? Is it just me?
No, it's happening for me too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I rarely do page layouts anymore with single blocks. I always kind of look for patterns.
Right. Yeah.
Because then I have a whole assemble thing, so that it invokes right away when I... even if I do just patterns,
The intention is for it invoke right away. Okay, so maybe the people that I asked about it were just not telling me the truth.
Switch it off.
Yeah, they said to me, it doesn't do that for me. Maybe they're dropping in blocks and not patterns. Maybe that's what it is.
But yes.
Yeah, whenever you use a pattern inserter, it'll automatically invoke it.
Yeah.
That's by design. I will say there are some... I think this has been, started to... be fixed, but there, I mean, it has been greatly fixed, but there were some issues with some themes where, depending upon how they set their main content, zoom out kind of got a little wonky, and there have been some pull requests. So if you're using a theme and you're not seeing that experience, okay, it could also be related to that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the intended behavior. Anyway, another lovely feature, this sort of zoom out mode. Okay, then we're going to go to the developer blog, and let's begin with a piece in, Justin Tadlock, January 2025. What's new for developers? I did feature this on the show the other day, but it was not for very long, and so I didn't really get into this. But did you drop this in, Birgit? And if so, what were the highlights on this piece?
Well, the highlights are what's coming into what's interesting for theme developers and plugin developers, and also what's new in Playground. And so that's just a roundup post. If you haven't been up to date with what the Gutenberg plugin releases are, what some of the updates in core are, or what you should pay attention to, just once a month, the What's New for Developers gives you a good overview with some snippets or a short explanation why that's interesting to you. And then you can dig deeper into the material. Yeah. So that's why it's always good to kind of look at that developer blog under What's New for Developers. Because it's January, it also had, of course, State of the Word in there. But it also talks about new blocks. Yeah, that's what I really like, the new query total block. So
that's neat,
facets,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's really neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gives you total results and also kind of 12 results found, or displaying one of 10 of 12, different kind of ways on the pagination. And then, of course, we talked about the style book for classic themes, and then the tools update for WPENV, as well as for the create block scaffolding tool that. And then the block hooks updates, which you can now use for sync patterns and post content of custom blocks as well.
I'll give you the URL for this developer blog, because if you're not a developer, even if you're just sort of a tinkerer in WordPress, it's definitely worth checking out because it spans every subject. So the quickest way is just developer.wordpress.org. But then if you want to keep up to date with the blog posts on there, developer.wordpress.org/news, you can put that into your RSS reader if you want, and all of the bits and pieces will drop. I really hope that receives the same attention that it's been getting, because if we rewind the clock 2 or 3 years, I feel that there's been a huge improvement in the way that the developers are committing stuff into the public domain. And I really hope that continues. So, yeah, that's lovely. Right, next piece then. Unless Anne wanted to say something there. No? Okay.
No.
Okay, in which case, mastering light and dark modes in styling in block themes. So, again, this came on the developer blog. Again, it's Justin Tadlock. And it's an explanation, really, of how you may create the option to have a light and dark toggle. I feel like no website in the future probably should be built without this. I will curse heavily if I can't have my dark mode. Everything's got to be dark. I dislike anything that's light.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of that tutorial is that once you get through it, it's very easy to implement because there are the browser CSS have caught up with all those new features that you can do it in theme JSON as well as in CSS. And it's relatively, because it reads out the system variation. So if you have your browser set to dark, it will show the dark mode of that website that implements it, or on the same on the mobile. So it's really a good tutorial to really do a great job. And great service to Nathan Wrigley.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Enforce the preference.
Me too, to force the preference, yeah. I just put the list of developer blog posts in there to make sure that if there's something in there that we want to talk about, that we have a good place, a good article that we can share in the show notes.
Nice.
But it's also a good place to learn more about what are hybrid themes. It's one of the other article, yeah, is Bridging the Gap. But what can you do on a classic theme that feels block theme wise, and how you implement that? That was actually a fairly long article, but it has a few use cases for that. And then the content only support for block that came with WordPress 6.7, I think. How do you implement that as a theme developer and as a plugin developer, and how you deal with it? And then the block bindings article is really helpful for those who want to use custom fields with their themes and use them in their templates.
So there you go. Three or four articles cherry-picked by Birgit on the developer blog. So one about light and dark mode, Justin Tadlock. One about Bridging the Gap hybrid themes, which I confess is something which I've entirely ignored. It's kind of interesting. I was talking to Tammy Lister just yesterday, and she's very, very interested in these. And that was by Troy Chaplin. That was the 3rd of December. Then what else was there in there? There was Bridging the Gap, hybrid themes. I just mentioned that.
Yeah.
How to add content-only editing support to a block. That, I believe, if memory serves, was Nick Diego. That's interesting. So handing over.
Can I touch on that?
Yeah, lovely idea, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually, if you look up issues related to write mode, WRITE, that is like a new exploration that's happening of basically providing a simplified editing experience when it comes to content editing for the site editor. So like when you're like landing in the site editor, you can imagine this option, and the name needs to be worked on, because to me, write mode, I think of like writing a blog post or page, where this is actually making content changes to your site. But the idea is just like, how can we provide a simplified editing experience for the site, just not touching all the other like settings and font size and color and all. It's like, what if you're just focusing on content updates, basically? And so the reason that explanation on the developer blog is so important is like, if this mode rolls out further and we continue pushing on that, the content only method is a way of implementing that option for our simplified editing experience. And so it's kind of to be determined which direction, but I'm really glad to see that tutorial out there, because I also think, as you were probably about to say, like, it's a great idea in general to provide, if you want to kind of provide a more like curated experience of something that you're building. So I think either way, it's a great thing to know about. I think content only editing is a great tool in the toolbox, and like another way you can curate the interface and the experience of creating with WordPress. But there's a larger vision there,
yeah,
related to potentially this other.
The way that I think it would have worked best in my former life with working with clients would be, I don't know, I can just lock down every instance of this block to, well, for example, any text-based stuff, go for it. You know, that's, you've paid for the site, it's yours, alter the text, but you're not getting the color palette out of my cold dead hands. You know, it's like that's not to be fiddled with by you. So you can have the content but nothing else. And this ability, and I know it's probably a lot of overkill in a lot of scenarios, but the ability on a sort of global level to say, oh, I don't know, every image block, unless otherwise specified, you can do this, but not this and not this. All of that granularity would be so nice. Whether or not most people would use it, I don't know, but fascinating idea, you know, especially once you get your hands around it. Just makes that whole handover to the client easier, you know, the guy wearing the boxing gloves typing, it's fine, go for it, but you're not mucking about with the hex colors.
Yeah, it was one of the early feedback that we got from block themes, yeah, that it opens up everything and I have to close it down. And I don't know how often I had this question, how do I remove this? How do I remove that? How do I remove that? Yeah, for my client, they needed guardrails for the editorial team, yeah? And if that helps to, and this is kind of the next phase of it, to do that and provide those guardrails and make it flexible and extensible for plugin developers and theme developers.
So I mean, the long and the short of it is there's a lot going on the developer blog. There's tons happening. So
tons of
yeah, there's several pieces linked in the show notes, cherry picked, if you like. But let's move on. There's a couple of bits that I've just sort of scraped over because I'm really eating into your time, the pair of you now. So let's move on to Playground, which is about the most exciting thing ever. No, really exciting.
Really? Yes.
Genuinely exciting. I keep saying, to me, it feels like when Apple put the App Store on the iPhone. You know, it turned what was a very interesting thing into a really interesting thing that could do a ton of other things. And I feel like with Playground, nobody has any intuition about where it's going to head. And in a year's time, somebody will have done something utterly remarkable with it. And and so, yeah, we've got a few bits and pieces. Birgit, did you want to launch into this? I don't know who added those into the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Playground interface that you saw in summer has changed now in fall, where it kind of looks more like a data view interface.
Right,
so
right.
The layouts are kind of three pane. And what's also new is that you can actually save the site that you're working on, right with a button there before it kind of, you reloaded the browser and all the things that you worked on are gone if you weren't careful. And now you can save them. You can have multiple sites in one interface. So your browser, or you could even save them to your local computer. That's good. And then also you can use, Playground can now also create multi-site environments. So the broader aspect of things, the application of how to use it or for which use case to use it, it's much larger now. And then what it also, the interface also gives you is the blueprints gallery that was rolled out just before WordCamp Europe, where you have a set of, I think it's 15 of them, or maybe 16 different ways how you... So blueprints are the configuration, the app, so to speak, the configuration of the Playground. So if you need a demo site for a theme, or do you want to see how the data views experiments in Gutenberg, in Google work, or if you want to study how you can add additional site options to your Playground that you use for a client demo or something like that, the Blueprints Gallery has a lot of examples, working examples that you just, and they are listed there. You click on view and then it automatically loads them. And you can also study the blueprints there. So that's a great feature to dive into whatever Playground can do for you.
Adam Zelensky.
Kind of
Adam Zelensky claims to come from Poland. I think he's from an entirely different galaxy. Like, it's really like, how the heck did he get this stuff into a browser? It's pretty remarkable. But it speaks to what we were talking about earlier. All of a sudden, like, WordPress has become this thing which you can deploy in under a second. I mean, maybe that's an exaggeration, but, you know, it's approximating a second. And can you imagine, honestly, I'm just making it up as I go along, but can you imagine how this could be deployed in so many interesting scenarios? Like, okay, here's a class from a primary school children. Dear children, click on this link. Here's a bunch of pre-prepared science resources for you for today. You know, go and check those out. And you can add any comments in, because we've got a commenting system in there. You can amend it. You can adapt it. It's just remarkable. I genuinely am, as you can probably tell, I'm quite excited. Quite excited about what Playground is going to augur in the future. And again, I don't really have any intuition about what that is, but it's almost like somebody's taking the lid off WordPress.
Well, what the team is focusing on now is the data liberation part.
Oh,
yeah, it's kind of the Playground is used to import sites from WordPress, and also that right now they're working on all the parsers to import sites that are in HTML or from a different content management system that comes in seeing just the front end of it and then building it in WordPress. I mean, that's just the future, but that's what they're working on. And this is absolutely fascinating for me because the underlying technology that needs to come together is only now possible to use it in a browser. If before you had to think about servers, you had to think about databases, you think of different programming languages and parsing content, and HTML was never a sure source of structured data, so you always have scrambled websites when you do web scraper kind of thing. But this playground feature or the team that's working on it's really fantastic. Yeah,
I'm so glad that it got picked up as a thing almost immediately, and then it feels like a bunch of resources got thrown at it because, you know, the intuition was, oh, this is exciting.
Yeah,
and the whole you know, Drupal to WordPress, I don't know, Shopify to WordPress, that's kind of interesting. But for me, just being all in on WordPress, that's not quite as interesting as WordPress to WordPress. And I love the idea of it becoming a basic, I don't know, like a migration tool or something. Or, okay, you want to just a staging site for a few hours? Here we go. And the ability to save it, but then the ability to save it and then just demonstrate it over the internet to other people. Oh, just so interesting.
Just phenomenal. And if you're working on the site and you have a prototype, you can make a copy and put it in a playground.
Over and over again. We live.
I want to see agencies use it. You can have so many starter sites where it's like, oh, here's a link. Do you like this? This is where we can start with. You can throw in your content. Like, I built a site for someone recently, and just for fun, I like to build sites because it helps me stay in touch with, like, you know, the experience of it, even though I run a couple sites. And I was able to send her a replica of her site and be like, this isn't live. It's literally in your browser. You can go wild. You can explore it. You can actually feel it. And if you like it or you want to make changes, like, we can export from there. But it was amazing to be able to send it to her where it's like, your site's not live. You don't even need access. It's totally safe for you to break. You can break all of this and it's totally fine. Just literally refresh your browser and it will come back and it will be all get like it's to awesome, have her actually get to know WordPress and like break things safely. And like and experience it live, you know, like it was a really cool, once she understood that's like how her changes won't be saved unless she goes and saves them, it allowed her to like really get a grasp of things really quickly. And I don't know, I used to build sites for people, and if I were in that space still and getting paid for it, I would be using Playground, I think, constantly.
I would showcase all kind of different layouts that you can do with a Playground. If you have the Jamie Marshland has a video out, the 10 top layouts or something like that. I would just replicate them, put them in Playground and just say, do you like this? Do you like this? Yeah. Do you like this?
Play with it. What do you think?
I think it's all voodoo. I'm sure that there's a little person inside the browser somewhere with like a cog and some wrenches and things like that. There's no way this is happening. It's too weird. Just a couple of things to sort of round it off. Couple of hallway hangouts, which we will link to in the show notes over at the make.wordpress.org/playground. There's a couple of hallway hangouts where you can watch the sort of latest things, one from December 24, and I can't remember exactly when the other one was. So
a week later.
Okay, so just before Christmas. So we'll link to those as well. You can see what's going on. And then finally, Anne, I don't know if we covered off the one that you added in as a comment. There was a GitHub issue 68036. That's a bit nerdy, isn't it? Which was feedback on adoption approach for exposing editable UI for Starbucks. So it kind of feels like we're going backwards half an hour or so. But never mind.
I was going to say, we covered that. So yeah, sorry about putting that in there at the bottom.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. In which case, we will leave that and we will say, I think we've done it. It's a wrap. We got quite excited at times there, didn't we? It just goes to show.
And I like how you do GitHub issues like a phone number.
Yeah, that's right. Say it out loud. Because honestly, I think the majority of the people that listen to the podcast won't open the website. And so it is quite nice giving it as an audible thing, even though it will be available in the show notes.
I got the technique.
So all it remains for me to do is to say a massive thank you to Birgit and to Anne for putting in the effort on the show notes there and just generally putting in the effort in the community and on the product side, and big big, big shout out from me. I really appreciate all that you've done. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Always good to chat.
Thank you. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I hope that you enjoyed that. As I said at the top of the show, I apologize for the late arrival of this episode. Really was out of my control on this occasion. But thanks to Anne and Birgit for joining me and discussing all of the bits and pieces that have been happening with WordPress Core over the last 3 months. If you've got anything to add, please go to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 407, and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefining your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we are also assisted this week by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere heartfelt thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that truly is all that I've got time for this week. The only thing that I suppose I could mention is /subscribe to subscribe, /advertise if you're interested in getting on the show as a sponsor, and /schedule if you'd like to keep up to date with all that we're doing. Okay, here comes some AI-generated cheesy music. You have a good week. Stay safe. Bye-bye for now.